Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Red Sox with another series win in Minnesota.
Can you believe it?
You know what that means, Jones? That means we have a new baseball trade to get to. So let's go to the baseball trade desk with our own Billy Lanny. Billy.
All right, Jeff Passan breaking. The San Diego Padres are acquiring closer Mason Miller and starter J.P. Sears from the A's, sources tell ESPN.
Wow. In exchange, they had to give up Mason Miller. You pointed this out recently, Keith. He hasn't been as good this year as he was a year ago, but it is going to cost San Diego, who was all hot and bothered for Jaron Duran, and I would say this crosses them off the list for Jaron Duran, but they are paying dearly. DeVry. Not even going to bother with
University?
The University? Leodalis?
All right.
Leodalis? DeVry.
Leodalis?
L-E-O-D-A-L-I-S.
All right. Just same top prospects.
DeVry, the number three overall prospect in baseball, goes to the A's in this deal. But again, Mason Miller, that is another impact reliever. Somewhere, I forget who said this off the air, somewhere Andy Hart just drove off the road.
Hart likes this guy quite a bit. So
he is a big fan.
Mason Miller, 26 years old. He has a 3.76 ERA
this
season.
That's not great.
Which is a lot higher than it was a year, over a run higher than it was a year ago. It's 20 saves for that bad A's team. But in 38 and a third innings, does have 59 strikeouts.
I was going to say.
So he is a strikeout machine.
Electric arm. Yeah.
And you have him under team control forever. Like, he is a young guy. This is only his third year in the majors. I mean, really his second full season in the majors. He had rookie of the year votes last year. So his second full season, I don't think he's a free agent until like 2030. So this is one where if you are giving up a top prospect, it's certainly not a rental. It's not even a 1.5 year situation. That is something where they're in it. They're a wild card team. The San Diego Padres are. I think they're the third wild card.
Well, I was going to say, and because the Giants have completely fallen out. The Giants are actually selling. Did you see this yesterday?
The Giants have the worst record in baseball since acquiring Devers and the lowest scoring offense. Amazing.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize it's actually those two. They're the lowest scoring offense and the worst record?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow.
So
the Giants are actually selling. Meanwhile, the Padres are adding because, well, they can smell blood in the water there. And this is what A.J. Preller does. And I will say this. That's the third impact reliever to me, Duran, Helsley, and now Mason Miller, if you're just tuning in, dealt to the Padres along with J.P. Sears for one of the top prospects in baseball. All of Major League Baseball apparently has been waiting for A.J. Preller and the Padres to do something.
Yeah,
so maybe this kind of opens up trades throughout baseball now that no one's waiting on San Diego anymore.
So Jake Iggy Ignaszewski.
Yep.
Who works for CBS Sports. He's also the host of Iggy Sports Talk.
Oh, he hosts Iggy Sports Talk.
He tweeted out yesterday, and I'm sure it's only gotten worse after I think they lost again, didn't they? Or no, maybe they were. Yeah, they lost again. The Giants, since his first game.
Okay.
They have the worst record in baseball, and they have scored the fewest runs per game. They've scored under 4 runs a game.
Wow.
So they are the worst team.
I was unaware of that. Let me tell you, Keith, I have the master Jones file going on Rafael Devers. I knew they were 13-24, and now now they're just a game under 500. They were a game under 500 overall on the season.
They were in the playoffs at the time of the trade. They're now 6 games out, and they have 2 teams in front of them.
They have 134 runs in 37 games. That's 3.6 runs a game. You're telling me that's the worst in baseball since they acquired future Hall of Famer Rafael Devers.
Thanks to Iggy Sports Talk. Yeah,
that's an elite bat. I mean, he should be mentioned in the same breath as Mookie Betts.
Keith. Generational player.
A generational talent. How are they ever going to recover?
I think they're actually better. They're better than the team that he went to.
By the way, the Red Sox have scored 192 runs in 37 games. That's 5.2 per game.
Couldn't stop scoring runs yesterday.
They're 22-15 without Devers somehow trading away a generational prospect.
Do you think
the
Giants will trade Devers? Can we hear his name today?
not at the deadline, but would you rule out they trade him like soon? Meaning like in the next year?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. I don't think he's guaranteed to play his whole rest of his career or the rest of that contract anyway with the Giants.
Me either.
No, God no.
Me either.
But he did play first base.
People mentioned him with Mookie Betts. And Keith's like, you know, he's never had top 10 MVP votes. Mike Lowell has had top 10 MVP votes.
To warn everybody.
Jason Bay has had top 10 MVP votes.
Yeah,
I mean, good players, don't get me wrong. Good players.
Oh, great players.
Not all-time great generational people like the way they talked about Rafi Devers.
But Mason Miller, I think, could be that's a good add. I wouldn't be surprised if over the next couple of years he has some monster seasons. It's tough for closers to be super consistent, right? There's not a lot of those, like, you know, Chapman and, you know, even Kenley Jansen, as much as a turd that he turned into last year. Like, those guys are, like, long-time closers. But Mason Miller, at least out to a hot start, has electric stuff. And, you know, so add another guy. So that's been the most popular thing to go. Was it three closers have been traded in the last 12 hours?
Yeah. Three, what I would consider impact closers, three of them have been traded since last night. Duran, Helsley, and now Mason Miller.
Mason Miller.
Yeah.
All right.
So I have five names on my list of impact players. I would not put Bieber on it. I still think he's the best starting pitcher to move.
Yeah.
So that right now is the top of the market for starting pitchers to have moved. Joe Ryan hasn't moved. Dylan Cease hasn't moved. And by the way, my guess is he ain't moving now that the Padres are buying.
Actually, Buster only says the opposite. He says
interesting.
Cease and Robert Suarez are now likely to be moved
because
they got J.P. Sears and Mason Miller.
I had seen So J.P. Sears is having an awful year. I just looked up his numbers. He's a lefty.
Weird.
Interesting.
They just want Jaren Duran so bad.
Look, I respect Buster Olney on that. So if he's saying that, I believe him. But I'm surprised about Cease. The Suarez thing I had read. If they acquire Mason Miller, Suarez could still be on the move. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're still calling about Jaren Duran. Maybe they're even more desperate for Jaren Duran. I would not move him for Dylan Cease. I wouldn't. If it was Cease and Suarez, maybe. But I wouldn't move him for just one of those two guys. I think that would be an awful trade, quite frankly. But Bieber's the biggest starting pitcher to move. But it's been three relievers, as Keith pointed out, and then Seattle got the two bats that I would consider impact, quote-unquote bats. Eugenio Suarez and Josh Naylor were sitting here at a little past 11 o'clock Eastern time. Trade deadline is less than 7 hours away. We'll talk to Rob Bradford about all of this coming up about 20 minutes from now on Jones and Keith. We are live, day 8, Patriots training camp. It's a walkthrough today. We have seen Mac Hollins return. Be out there for the first time, rather, activated off PUP. Carlton Davis returned today. We're presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Keith, what's the best-case scenario for Breslow between now and 6 p.m. tonight, less than 7 hours away? Red Sox made one deal.
Yeah.
Been a while since you mentioned it. They acquired a lefty reliever in Steven Matz, pretty minor move. What's a best-case scenario between now and 6?
I mean, best-case scenario may also be somewhat unrealistic, but let's just start with that. The best-case scenario would be a true number two starter, a right-handed hitting first baseman, and another reliever. That's best-case scenario. Now, I think every team has their best-case scenario. I don't know how many teams are actually going to achieve that between now and 6 o'clock, but that's what it would look like. I think a close second would be, and we actually did this yesterday, I think, would you rather. It would either be like a true number two starter or like a bat that might not be the Eugenio Suarez type bat, but a step up from Abraham Toro, and a reliever that is, you know, maybe better than everybody besides Whitlock and Chapman. Something in that realm.
Yep.
'Cause those are all the things that the team needs. Like Joe Ryan still remains like very optimistic. Like that'd be the one that's the one that you'd shoot for. That to me, like if you walked away with Joe Ryan, you're like, you win the deadline. You are now World Series favorite.
Sitting here today, would you trade? I just want to know if you've changed your mind at all.
Would you trade
Duran straight up for Joe Ryan?
No,
me neither.
No, I think you can still do it. Like if they're willing to trade Ryan, it's one thing if Joe Ryan was on the Padres.
Yep.
Might be like, all right, they're so adamant about Duran, there might not be a deal that you could strike that doesn't involve him. But they have, you mentioned yesterday or 2 days ago, the top 100 prospects, they updated that. Red Sox, even with Roman Anthony, Meyer, Campbell sort of off that list.
They have five.
Meyer technically is.
They have like five other guys.
Yeah, they do. So like they have stuff that you can trade.
That was Baseball America.
Yeah.
I think MLB came out with their updated rankings too. They had four guys in the top 100.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
we're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
So they have other prospects to move.
I know Duran's on a little bit of a heater, but he was their best player last year. This year, he's turning it around. They moved him down to third, which I wasn't originally wild about, but he's
still
showing
not.
Power.
But I'm still not, to be honest, but Roman Anthony leading off works because he's an on-base machine.
You know what it also does, and this is like rethinking traditional baseball, but batting third and already having Roman Anthony and Alex Bregman hit, now when Duran gets on, run every time. Run every time.
Well, that's true.
You're not running into an out with Bregman up,
right?
Who like could just drive you in from anywhere. But like, you could steal second or third, for God's sakes. Because what? All right, now Trevor Story,
right?
Yeah, fine.
No, so you know what? Fair point.
I don't mind it.
If they're going to have him running wild, and my conspiracy theory on why he hasn't really been running, largely, I think he has a handful of steals in the last like 30 games.
Yeah.
Was they didn't want to get him hurt going into the deadline.
Yeah.
But now that assuming he's on the team.
Yeah.
Run wild. Look, if they're gonna turn him loose, then I guess I'm okay with him batting third and Anthony Bregman in the one and two spots. To answer my own question, I wouldn't trade Duran for Joe Ryan. And I think we're in the minority on that take, Keith.
We might be. But Bradford, who we're going to talk to in a little bit, he brought this up even go back a couple weeks ago when his name was in every rumor. He's like, that one would rock the clubhouse.
Okay, it would. But that's not even the reason I wouldn't do it. I'm not trading a bat, an impact bat, for an arm. I'm not doing that. I would trade prospects for Joe Ryan. I'm not subtracting off the big league roster. Oh, well, you have Joe Ryan cost controlled. I guess he's a pitcher. He could blow out his arm tomorrow. So
yeah.
I'm not moving an MVP caliber bat that is cost controlled for a cost controlled arm that could blow out at any time.
Right,
I'm not doing that.
All right, next part of that though, Willie or Abreu for Joe Ryan.
Yeah, that's closer to it.
Okay.
I'm
with you. Like, I think there are certain
I still would rather not subtract from this team. The big roster.
Willie Abreu's a good power. Like, I mean, that's a guy that I would still want out there, and I would say, because I guess the argument that you might get is in the off season, you're going to need to trade one of these outfielders most likely anyway. So if now's the time to strike and add Joe Ryan to this playoff run, do you do that? Because you might move on from the guy next year. But I would just say, look at what's happened right now. Rafael has played second base because Marcelo Meyer's hurt. And even when Meyer comes back, as much as you and I like him, maybe the best lineup still has Rafael second and all those outfielders out there.
Look, they no longer have a glut of outfielders. They don't.
Right now, those guys are playing.
If you trade Duran or Abreu, that you're going to have to piece that together all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you're kind of short out there, which, again, these things tend to take care of themselves. Short of Joe Ryan, Keith, who's the name you want? Regardless of position, who's the name you want?
I'm in on Yandy Diaz.
So that's mine.
I like Yandy Diaz
I want that more than a starter.
Yeah, because I think Yandy Diaz at first base and whatever, he's close to 20 home runs, right-handed bat, he's better at that than I think anybody else that you could get pitching-wise other than Joe Ryan, if that makes sense. So like he comes in, put him in the middle of your lineup, it solves a whole bunch of things, whereas every other pitcher you could bring in, I'd be fine and happy with Merrill Kelly and, to a lesser degree, Zach Gallen, Sandy Alcantara, who I guess is pitching a little bit better as of late. Like, all those guys I would take, but I think Yandy Diaz is a bigger impact. So put me down for him in a second.
I like...
It would have been Suarez, honestly, but now Suarez is gone.
Yeah, I like I would prefer Diaz to Suarez just because I know he can play first base. Not that he's a great first baseman, but he's done it.
Suarez has twice the home runs.
He does, but I like that Yandy Diaz has been in big games.
Yep,
I think that's important with Bregman. Like, I think he's a winning player, and you can see it. And I think bringing it – and not that Diaz has won a World Series, but he's been in some big games. He's been to a World Series, played in a ton of playoff games in Tampa. I think this team could specifically use that. Eugenio Suarez, unless I'm missing it, I don't think he's had a lot of pennant runs and big playoff games. I'm sure he's been there in his career. At least sneak in at one point with the Reds. But to me, that's...
Yeah, he has 8 career playoff games. Diaz has 26.
So, like, to me, and I honestly, I'm surprised. I thought that number would be higher, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Diaz has been in more of those spots. To me, I'd put an emphasis on that. So that is the guy I would want. I get one name short of Joe Ryan at the trade deadline. That's the name I want. I know the reporting is that Tampa is putting him on the back burner. They're not itching to trade him. My hope is that's posturing. My hope is they're saying, we're not going to trade him, and they're trying to get a desperate move at the end because they've already sold. They already sold from their rotation. Littell is a guy they moved. And so I'd imagine they're selling more. And if they're in sell mode, that's a guy they can get something for. I imagine they cash that in.
Well, it's interesting because a week ago there was a ton of names, right? There's a ton of names that were out there. And then all of a sudden the Royals re-signed Seth Lugo. The Rangers are in it, so they're probably keeping Eovaldi. So you're like, all right, those are two guys that I certainly would have taken. You cross them off the list. And now a bunch of these closers, who I would have taken, even though the Red Sox do have a closer, but just to strengthen the bullpen I would have taken, they all get moved off the board. Suarez and Naylor, those names were out there for sure. They both go to the Mariners, which I don't think could be overlooked. I mean, that's one team that could take your playoff spot away from you.
Yeah, they're a game and a half back right now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be Yankees, Red Sox, Mariners, Rangers. Three of those four teams are going to make the playoffs. And as of right now, one of those four has significantly upgraded their offense, and that's the Seattle Mariners. And we'll see what happens with these other teams. You know, the Yankees, a couple lesser moves so far.
Yeah,
but they've been making moves.
McMahon had the walk-off last night, right?
True.
But the Yankees, to me, have made moves similar to what the Red Sox did today with Steven Matz. Those aren't big moves.
No, they're not.
They made more of them,
right.
But they haven't made any big moves. Ahmed Rosario and McMahon, like, to me, those are akin to the moves Breslow made at the deadline last year. I wouldn't give Cashman a ton of credit for those moves. Do you? I thought this was an interesting debate today. I was on Wiggy's side of this debate, listening to Greg more so than on Curtis's side. If a name like Joe Ryan doesn't move, and a name like Dylan Cease doesn't move, Alcantara, Edward Cabrera, like true what I feel are impact arms, if those guys don't move as starting pitchers, I do give Breslow a little bit of leeway. I can't on the bats, impact bats have moved.
Yeah, right.
The relievers, impact relievers have moved. But on the starting pitchers, like if the best name to move is Merrill Kelly, I'll say, wow, they probably should have got that guy. But I don't think that's a true impact arm that they have to go get. That guy hasn't moved yet, and I would give Breslow a little leeway there. If no big-ticket starters move, I can't crush him for not getting a big-ticket starter. Are you more with Curtis on that or with Wiggy?
No, I'm definitely more with Wiggy because I would say the same thing about basketball trade deadlines all the time. You know, when before the Celtics had their loaded roster, every year we would complain about how come they didn't get Jimmy Butler or Paul George or Anthony Davis, and most of those times at the deadline, those guys didn't move. You know, eventually those guys did, but for a while, like, they didn't move, and like, all right, the team just wasn't going to trade him. I think this year, specifically with some of the guys we've named, Dylan Cease now is on a playoff team. Nathan Eovaldi is now on a playoff team. Seth Lugo just signed an extension.
Eovaldi's not moving. Lugo just signed. You're right.
Anywhere.
Yeah. So maybe Cease moves, but yeah.
Because the argument was, well, you make it worth their while. Well, you don't have to do something insanely stupid, but they also might be convinced on their team.
Well, so let me ask you,
because the Red Sox shouldn't trade Chapman, right?
Yep.
They shouldn't trade him.
Correct.
But if some team called up and was like, take our top three prospects. Like, I don't know. But the Red Sox still might say, we're good. Like, in the offseason, maybe that'd be something we would do. But, like, we're not doing that because we're buying on our team. We're not selling.
Right. I thought Schein made a fair point. He said, well, Cease, the Padres have offered Cease and more for Jaron Duran.
Yeah.
So, fair. Maybe they could have got Dylan Cease. Would you do that trade?
Not for Jaron Duran, no.
Me neither.
No.
So, like, okay. I mean, I wouldn't have done that trade either. So
if you find out that it was all it took was a few prospects or – This is apples to oranges, but a couple years ago, Seth Lugo, matter of fact, they didn't offer enough money. Like, that's a completely different story. That's like, you could have had him. All it took was more money. You didn't do it. This is so different because it's all about whether a team is really willing to move that guy or not.
No, if you want to crush, and look, let's see what happens between now and the deadline, but as of right now, if you want to crush Breslow for being in on Duran and Dombrowski outmaneuvered him, crush him.
Yeah.
If that's a guy you really wanted. If you want to crush him for Suarez, and I'm closer on this one, because they were in on him and Seattle outmaneuvered them, well, then fine, crush him for that. I'm not going to crush him for not getting Joe Ryan if Joe Ryan doesn't move. That, to me, doesn't make sense.
No, I know. I'm not going to do that.
And
I think, because, like, from what I heard, Curtis's main point was, like, you know, the Nomar trade was, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But you also had Manny and Ortiz. Like, that whole team
you had other
loaded,
pieces to overcome it, yeah.
Right? So, like, but if you traded Jaron Duran right now for a starting pitcher, like, your lineup is worse. Like, your lineup is a lot worse, and you're not adding in a bunch of guys. And you don't already have a bunch of guys that are hitting 40 home runs.
617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe live at Day 8 Patriots training camp. Looks like they're going to wrap it up shortly. Drake May scheduled to talk today. Maybe we'll hear some of that coming up. On the way next, I know you're going to hear from Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, and WEEI. That's right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C-Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.